You've heard of BetaShares. You've probably seen the logo on our podcast. You might even be among their 1 million investors. So you can imagine that I'm delighted to say BetaShares is the official ETF partner of the Australian Finance Podcast. With nearly 100 exchange-traded funds, you can go to betashares.com.au and immerse yourself in ETFs and unique insights covering all of the sectors, themes, core and satellite positions you could want. Think cybersecurity through the HACK ETF, robotics and AI with the RBTZ ETF, and uranium with the URNM ETF. The list goes on. To explore the BetaShares ETF range, visit betashares.com.au, read the relevant PDS and TMD on the website, and consider if the fund is right for you. BetaShares Capital Limited is the issuer.
Hey there, here's a quick note. This podcast contains general financial advice only. That means it's not specific to you, your needs, goals, or objectives, so don't act on the information until you've spoken with your financial advisor. You'll find our full disclosure, disclaimer, and link to our financial services guide in the show notes.
Hello, I'm Kate Campbell.
And I'm Owen Rask.
And you're listening to the Australian Finance Podcast.
A podcast where we talk about money, finance, investing, and all that good stuff.
We're helping you invest your time and money better one podcast episode at a time.
Yes, so please subscribe if you like the series. And don't forget you can find us on social media. We're on all the platforms. Kate, where can people go?
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Rask Australia. That's R-A-S-K Australia.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Owen Rask on Twitter. Or Owen Rask AU on Instagram. Beware the imitators. People like to copy us. Without further ado, let's jump in to today's episode. Kate, welcome to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast.
It is wonderful to be back for another episode in our summer series.
It is indeed. Queenie, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
It is your debut on the podcast.
I know. I can't believe it. We're here. We're in Melbourne. It's great. Yeah.
Recording in the studio.
I know. It's so nice to see you in person because I feel like I've known you for so long, but I've never actually met you. So it's nice to see you in person.
Yeah. Strange thing about the internet, isn't it? You can get to know someone from afar. Like I've seen all your money saving tips on Instagram.
Yeah.
You've got quite a few.
I do. And we're going to go through them in this episode.
Yeah. Does anyone ever come up to you and say, hey, I know you? Does that ever happen?
Yeah, it actually does. Like, so I went on a round the world trip. And when we were traveling, like no one really knew me, maybe just one person in Singapore. And I was like, wow, that's cool. And then when coming back, it was like almost every day people would recognize me. Like I go to a cafe and then the barista would be like, oh, I know you. And it's quite cool, actually. I still get like weirded out by it because I'm like, oh no, like how do I look? Like, do I look different? Do I seem different? Like,
do I seem professional enough?
Yeah.
Do you ever get like, not worried, but do you ever get like nervous when someone meets you or you're like, oh, I need to make a good impression or something like that?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I'm just like, I get nervous and I'm like, oh, it is like the real Queenie as good as the online Queenie? I don't know.
That's great. Kate and I keep a low profile behind the mic, so it's a bit easier for us to just.
Hey, how do you feel when it happens?
Hasn't happened much, so it's perfect.
Yeah.
Unless you're actually at a finance event, but then you're prepared for it.
Yeah.
So that's good.
But also the cap, sunnies, face mask, you can cover it up pretty good.
Yeah, people cannot recognize me, including my own family in public usually, so it's okay.
All that army training coming to
effect. Bit of cam and con.
It's because of all the paparazzi outside your place. You're blue
blend. Queenie, yeah? I mean, money saving tips are big news in 2023, haven't you heard? And today we're going to share at least seven different money saving tips because cost of living has impacted pretty much everyone during the past 12 months. And I think everyone can find one or two ways to save a little bit more money on their budget. This year, we did quite a few episodes in the past year on savings accounts, term deposits, different ways to cut some of those living costs down. So it's a good way today to just refresh and think about how am I going to save a little bit more money this year? If my mortgage repayments have gone up, maybe my grocery bills have gone up, I need to find a little bit more room in my budget because potentially my income hasn't gone up.
Mm. Yeah, it's always good just to check in beginning of the year to check in and see what we can save on. As we know, the more you save, the more you keep or invest. So this is going to be a bit of fun. Maybe what we'll do is we'll just go through each category one at a time and we'll talk about that back and forth between the three of us. Sound good?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So one of the biggest parts of most people's budgets is either their rent or their mortgage repayments. So that is a big cost for a lot of people. And for many people, it's probably increased in the past 12 months.
Absolutely. You own a house, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Did you shop around when you got your mortgage?
I did. Yeah. So I think most people, when they are getting a mortgage, the first thought is, I'm just going to go with my current bank, or I'm going to go with one of the big banks. Mm. But what I did and what my partner did when we were getting our mortgage was, we were looking around at different banks to get a mortgage. Because when you think about it, when you take out a mortgage, the bank is the one that's taking the risk. You're not necessarily taking on the risk. Whereas when you have a savings account, you're sort of the one taking on the risk, because it's your money that you're putting into the bank and you trust the bank to keep your money. Whereas when it's a mortgage, it's the other way around. So yeah, we got a pretty good interest rate on our mortgage and we're happy with our provider, but it is worth it to shop around, because you can even get, usually they do like these cash
rewards.
Yeah, rewards if you switch your mortgage, and sometimes you can even save a bit of money there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Kate? Well,
I have not refinanced yet because it hasn't been 12 months. So I'm thinking that might be a good time that I sit down and review at least the variable part of my loan and see where that's at, because most of it is fixed at the moment. Mm. So I'm just making sure I utilize my offset account this year. I'm going to try and build up my cash buffer a little bit more because it's been expensive last few months paying for a European trip. So I've got to build that offset back up a little bit more again.
Yeah, yeah. You don't actually have to refinance to get a better rate. We actually had one listener write into us a couple of months ago who said, "Thanks, legends." I'm pretty sure that was the language used. "Thanks, legends. You saved me $400 a month just by calling the bank saying, hey, you know, I want a better rate, or I'm going to switch. You know, I can go anywhere." And that's what they did. And they knocked off about, I think it was about 0.5% off their mortgage. So that's a huge amount. When you think about that, if we've had so many interest rate increases, that's like rewinding back the interest rate increases by 2, because they normally go in 0.25s. So yeah, I think just calling and just saying, hey, this is what's, you know, this is what I can do. I'm going to walk unless you negotiate. And if you go see a mortgage broker, the key thing to keep in mind when you do that is there's a discount off the standard variable rate. So that might be a bit of gobbledygook. What it means is when you get a loan, there's normally like the rate that you see on the website, which says like, say, 4.99%. And then there's normally an advertised offer that would be like, you know, X discount off the standard variable rate. What people don't realize is that actually stays with you for the life of the loan. So that's not just for a little bit of time. That's for a long time. So a mortgage broker can actually help negotiate for a very long time. But you, contrary to what some people might say, you don't need to refinance to get a better rate. It's actually, oftentimes you can just call them and bargain with them. So that would be my tip. And then for renters, one of the things that makes renting really hard is the constant like churn. You're constantly like worried, is the landlord going to say, you know, that's it, I'm going to sell the house, or blah, 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 you need to move out. You can go to your landlord, you can be proactive. Go to them and say, hey, I'm super keen on being here. I've been a good tenant. Would you be willing to accept 18-month or 2-year leases? Because it's up to them. At the end of the day, they can do that if you offer that to them. Because what's important, right, is that locks in your mortgage rate. So with interest rates going up, eventually most landlords will push that through to their tenants to try and protect themselves. So if you get out in front of that and you offer a longer term rental contract, you can actually save money.
Yeah, I've also seen people in the past reduce their rent slightly by either organising to take the bins out for the block of units, mowing lawns for the owners, doing some repairs or things like that. So potentially there's ways to negotiate a slightly lower rent depending on your arrangement.
Yeah, potentially. So it can be more flexible than people imagine. So it's worth just asking the question, for sure. That's the big rock on our list, I would say, is like where you live. But there are plenty of other ways to save.
Yeah, another big area is transport. I know that's been a big thing in my budget. Even without a car, the amount you add up with public transport and Ubers going places that you can't go without public transport. Have you got any tips on saving on transport this year?
Yeah, I would say public transport is generally my go-to, because I think it's quite cheap, it's efficient, you know approximately what time you can get to your destination, and it's also more eco-friendly as well. I would also say, if you are planning on buying a car, it is a good idea to keep an open mind because, as we know, the used car market has also increased quite a lot over the years. So it is important to compare different options and see what works right for you because I don't think there is one size fits all when it comes to purchasing a car or, yeah, transport in general. What about you guys? I'm curious.
Well, if you can live with one car, that's better than two. And if you can live with two, that's better than three because cars are typically probably the third biggest
expense.
Does
anyone have three cars in a
household? Oh, yeah. Like my stepdad, if you're listening to this, Colin, eyes on you, buddy.
How can you possibly use all three at once?
Wow. That's a question, isn't it? One leg in each one. No. it's more of a lifestyle thing for him. Like he's got like the car that he drives on weekends and whatever.
Oh, so it's more of a hobby activity.
Yeah, He rebuilds cars and whatever. So if you want to give me that car, Colin, let me know. Anyway, so simple ways to save. We talked about the fuel app where you can lock in fuel.
Yeah, the 7-Eleven app was 7-11. Quite popular with our audience.
Yeah, and you can get Virgin Velocity points if you sign up within a certain time. And you mentioned, Queenie, there that you know what time you're going to get to your destination. I feel like Sydney, it's spoken like someone from Sydney. If you're in Victoria, you're like, yeah, it's going to be late by a long way. But you're true, right? It can really get you to where you need to go and just keeping an open mind. There was a thing for Victorians in the last election. Basically, every government promised to cap public transport fees at $1 or $2, which is down from $15 to take the train into the city?
Oh, it's about $9
is that what it is? Oh, maybe I'm thinking tolls. Yeah, so that's going to be a bit of a game changer for a lot of people too. So
if we see it.
If we see it, yeah, promises are the cheapest form of a guarantee, right? So yeah, so that's great. What about, Kate, how do you get by without a car?
Having friends that like to drive cars where you can pay them in food or coffee is a great money saving tip, and siblings and
still waiting
family
for that coffee.
Members. So that is one tip. Uber's been quite useful. I mean, I spoke to my sister and asked her how much she spent between rego and insurance and getting new tires or whatever cars need.
Yep.
And it was quite a few thousand dollars. So I was like, yeah, I've definitely spent less than that on Ubers and public transport in the last year. So I think I'm doing okay.
I think I've quoted this on the podcast, but I once did a bit of a study on a Holden Commodore. They don't make them in Australia anymore, but a Holden Commodore that cost $25,000. And if you own that for the full, I think it was 5 years or 7 years, it would cost you $75,000, even if it cost you $25,000 to buy it. So it gives you an idea of how much cost is embedded in these things without you even realizing how expensive transport can be. So I guess one of the takeaways there is that it's actually called depreciation, which sounds like a nerdy accounting term, which it is, but that's okay. What it means is the value of something falling over time, and cars are one of the worst for that. So the way you can neutralize that is actually buy cars that are 2 or 3 years old already. They might still have a little bit of warranty. That tends to be the sweet spot for getting rid of that.
Yeah. I've got another one to add. So recently purchased an EV, a Tesla. Actually, my first new car that I've bought, our last car, oh my gosh, it was 20 years old. We sold it for $1,000 to a scrap metal place because the person that we wanted to sell it to, he fixes broken down cars. He got in the car and there were so many issues. He was like, I'm sorry, I can't buy this car. There were too many issues. So that was our last car. It had a great run, but yeah, it was time for our upgrade. But something that got us over the line when purchasing an EV was there's this calculator that you can use. It's a total cost of ownership calculator. It's from the New South Wales government, but I assume the numbers would be similar in Victoria as well. So you can go on that and you can compare the total cost of ownership of an EV versus a petrol car. And especially if you are looking to purchase, you know, a more expensive car, EVs can actually make sense in the long term because you do have that fuel saving because you'll be charging your car instead of buying fuel. And then also, generally, they don't expect EVs to depreciate as much as petrol cars because the world is kind of moving towards more EV cars. So something to keep in mind if you are in the market.
Cool. I like it. I'd love to get one.
I think I'll get a Tesla when it starts driving me without me having to drive. I'll avoid driving as long as I can at all.
Well, we'll find a link to that and we'll put it in the show notes. One of the big reasons that EVs are more efficient is because they They don't have a combustion engine, which consumes a lot of parts, so they don't need as much servicing as well, which is really cool. Mm. Yes, Kate, engineering.
There you
Who
go.
Would have thought about that?
The more you know.
The more you know.
All
Put
right.
that in the memory palace. Yep.
Another Continuing big category on. That, I don't know, it seems to impact me a lot is yep. the cost of food. And that's from my weekly Coles shop to if I get a meal box to additional trips to the grocery when I run out of milk. Like, it just seems to add up a lot.
Yep.
Like, cooking for yourself's not fun.
What? Maybe.
Well, for me. I don't find it a fun activity.
You don't have anyone to please. You can cook whatever you want.
Just mashed potato all the time.
Yeah, do you have any favorite meals, Queenie?
Ooh, I love potatoes. I love all types of potatoes. They're the best. What about you?
What's in any your favorite form. Meal? Yeah. Well, I got in trouble for putting saying a recipe that you can make for a few dollars on the show.
That's because people didn't believe you could make it for $2 per serve.
Which was like, it what had pine it? Nuts in it. It was like a pumpkin salad. It's like pumpkin, it's spinach leaves, and you put a bit of feta, and then I said pine nuts, and that's when everyone was like, hold on a second.
Pine is just kind of going. Expensive.
You could do walnuts, sub it for walnuts instead.
Walnuts, yeah.
Chop
yeah.
it up.
But I mean, Owen didn't say how many pine nuts he put on.
Yeah, so you only it could put one and a half on each salad. So it's, yeah.
so it's like, just get one pine nut. If you chop it into a dust.
But I mean, technically, the pine nut bag would last forever, and it would be cost effective.
Yeah. No, so I guess there's some really simple ways to save, right?
Yeah. I mean, this year, in the past year, I've been buying meat in bulk. So when I saw sausages or things or steaks when they were 2 for $10 or things like that, I'd get a couple and then put them in the freezer. So that was quite helpful. And my biggest tip from last year was buying a meat thermometer, which was a great addition to the kitchen.
Mm. Who cooks in your household, Queenie? You or Pablo?
We both cook, actually. Ooh. We both cook together. Aww. So it was quite nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So what we usually, oh my gosh, I found the best hack the other day. Mm. You guys are going to love it because I didn't know about it before. So Coles does this thing called rain checks. And essentially what happens is if you see something that's on sale, something that you usually buy, let's say you buy almond milk and it's on sale, it's really cheap. And it's so cheap that it's completely sold out and you're like, damn, I run out of the almond milk. That's a great price. Mm. You can ask the staff for a rain check. And so they'll write down this little slip of paper what you're looking to buy, the price that it's on sale for. And then the next time it's in stock, you can actually bring in that little slip of paper and then buy it for that discounted price. So that's a good hack if if something's run out and you need to get something on sale.
I feel like that's kind of an insider knowledge tip.
Yeah, it's a good tip, hey?
Yeah.
Somebody DM'd me about it and I tried it and it actually works. So the more you know.
What did you use it on, if you remember?
It was almond milk.
Oh, it was almond milk. Okay.
Real example.
Yeah, cool. I like it.
Yeah, another one I've got is freezing bread. I usually can't get through a whole loaf in a week. And so it goes moldy after about 7 days, I've discovered. So put it in the freezer and just take out slices as you need them is quite good.
And you can toast it and it tastes the same.
Mm. Yeah. I've got that frozen button on my
toaster. What can't you freeze? I think that's the question.
Mm. I don't know. Sometimes I've had prepackaged meals before and they said don't freeze. So.
Yeah, right. Mm. I get this super low carb bread.
Bad.
Huh? What is?
Don't unfreeze ham and eat it. It's don't a bit watery ham. And milk.
Mm.
Why would you freeze milk? <What's happening
before? laughs> You got to try everything once.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Some things I feel
frozen
like I don't
milk.
Need to.
I've had frozen yogurt before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Sorry, theoretically.
Froyogurt, isn't that like a whole thing?
Yeah. I'm not talking froyo. I'm just talking like putting yogurt into small tubs and then having that as a dessert in the summer.
Mm. Oh. That sounds quite good,
actually.
That's
cheaper than going to froyo.
Yeah. You know a really cool little hack that you can do? Because this is just something really simple to stop you overspending is you can use – if you're on an Android – oh, my God. If you're on an Android, you can be like, okay, Google or whatever the jingle is, add milk to my shopping list. Or you do the same thing for Siri. Siri does it just as well. And then when you get there, it's all done in a shopping list. You say add it to the shopping list. Otherwise, it just creates another random note on your phone. So you can use that. It's really easy. If you're just walking around the kitchen, you know, instead of having the some people have like at home, they have like the whiteboard on the fridge or on the pantry. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do that anymore. You can just say, hey, you don't Google whatever it is. I don't.
Or you could just open your reminders app and add a list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that requires using your fingers.
Oh,
so
life's
that's
hard.
That's tough. Yeah.
Yeah. But definitely having a list before you go to the supermarket in general, though.
Yeah.
It's good.
But other than that, like Queenie, we know that you purchased a coffee machine, which is a big way to save as well.
Yes. Oh, I will tell anyone that listens, buy a coffee machine. If you buy coffees frequently, it will save you a lot of money. And it's a big upfront cost. When I first bought it, I was like,
because you weren't just buying an espresso machine, you were buying a legit coffee machine.
A legit coffee machine. Like, it has like the little basket and it has a grinder. So you literally like,
it's like a Breville or something.
Yeah. Oh, but it's amazing. I've had it for, actually, I think it's maybe like 6 to 7 years now. Bought it for $700, which is a lot of money at the time. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I feel about this. And now I'm like, man, cost per use would be so low right now. It would be like, I don't know what the cost per use would be. Probably be like 5 cents per day. Pretty good, hey? And then the coffee itself, I added it up once. I think it only costs about, yeah, from 50 to 80 cents. And only because I buy the more expensive like oat milks and stuff. So, you can save quite a lot of money.
Do you just get your beans from the supermarket or somewhere fancy?
I get fancy beans too. So that's a good way to save money. Yeah. Do you have a coffee machine?
Oh, I've just got the little Nespresso machine with the pods.
Oh.
I don't think that reduces my coffee budget though at all.
Oh, yeah.
It's on top, I think.
Yeah, I've got a DeLonghi at home.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, I can say that I did not pay for this. A mate who may be listening, I used to work for DeLonghi, throwing him in the deep end here, and he gave me a machine in exchange for using all my snowboard equipment. So I gave him all my gear, and he's like, "Yeah, no, you can just keep the coffee machine." I'm like, "Oh, sweet, okay, cool." But I still have a coffee addiction outside of home. So fair to say, when I come into the city, I spend way too much. Hasn't stopped me.
I feel like that's a good idea though, just switching. If you don't need one piece of gear or equipment in your life and someone else doesn't need something else, you could switch.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like snowboard gear, it's like $200 a day. It's a joke. So like if there was like four of them going, that's like a lot of money that you can save if like just repurpose it.
A lot of people buy those things like a waffle machine. They use it once or twice. It's not that fun anymore. So you may as well swap with someone else's popcorn machine.
Exactly.
Popcorn machine. Well, maybe you could do like a little group where you all like buy one thing and then you swap it. Like
you know
every
how like Breville make all those random things like the cupcake maker, like the pie maker and the crepe maker.
Yeah, they do that. I would also say just on this is like the actually making your meals, like prep meals is such a good way to save money. Sunday arvo, cook like a huge thing of pasta that you can have for dinner that night or whatever you're having. Like the superfood lentils, you can make anything out of. You can make pasta tacos, whatever you want.
Did you say pasta tacos?
Well, I meant like there was a comma there.
What?
So there was a comma in between pasta tacos. And then I was going to say something else, but it didn't work. So
pasta tacos.
If someone makes pasta tacos, can you please send us a photo and rate it out of 10 and we'll give it a crack. Anyway, who knows what 2023 holds? Okay. Saving money on entertainment is the next bucket, Queenie. What would you do if you were wanting to be entertained? How would you save money?
Ooh, okay. So I would say if you want to see your friends and everyone's like, hey, yeah, let's go out to a restaurant and do drinks, you know, maybe a cheaper alternative would be to go to someone's place and everyone brings in a bit of food, bit of drinks, cheese, snacks, board games, whatever, and then you can have a night in at home. It's cheap. It's a lot more. I personally love like nights in at home. I have so much fun. Yeah, they are. It's like nice. Mm-hmm. You get to talk. It's like just, you know, your friends that you want to see. And that's what I would do.
Cool. So night in at home and make the most of it.
Yeah.
And even better, you host, you come up with the idea and you don't have to drive home. So
exactly. Yeah.
You're good to go.
I wonder why that makes sense for you, Kate.
Saves on Ubers.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I think you come up with the idea and you host and you delegate all the different food and beverages and cheese to everyone.
That makes sense.
And
you pay for the Netflix.
You've got some dishes and you got to organize a bit, but you don't have to drive home. It's perfect.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Like it.
Even better.
What else, Kate? What else how would you save on entertainment?
Well, obviously listening to the podcast because it's free entertainment. during the year.
Yes, it is.
But
nice plug, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I don't usually plug it.
Yeah, this is going to be like Blue Moon. Go outside and check, actually.
My strategy recently has been only one streaming platform at a time and having regular 30-day bans, which has saved quite a lot
of
money.
Like a detox.
Mm.
Yeah, so I had three different detoxes last year of 30 days.
What were they? Like of TV?
Yeah, of TV.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no TV, no movies.
Is it a detox then?
I don't know. What else would you call it? Just going back to normal where you read a book before the world of the internet.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
I was reading books. I wasn't just sitting there staring at the ceiling.
Do I still make those? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so just, and also when you sign up for a streaming platform, you can just cancel it straight away. So you've got it for 30 days and it won't auto renew. So you can control things a bit more.
Do you need a different email address for that?
No.
Oh.
You just subscribe. It takes the money. You cancel. You've got it for the 30 days.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, cool.
Yeah, and you can do that with quite a few services because you'll pay. They won't. They'll leave you the length of time you've subscribed for, and then it will stop auto-renewing.
Yeah.
And I think that's – and even if it doesn't offer that kind of thing, write to the firm and say, can you turn off auto-renew so you can control that a little bit more and when you resubscribe because you might not need it immediately.
Yeah.
Mm. What's your favorite streaming service?
I think Netflix or Disney Plus. They're both really good. What about you guys? What do you
like? I feel like Disney has a special place in my heart.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But Netflix is pretty reliable for something there.
Yeah, true. Sorry, Stan.
Binge you can't download offline, so.
You can't. I realized that the other day when I was trying to watch The Walking Dead on the plane. I was devastated. It's like, what is this?
They have good shows, though.
Yeah.
Binge, yeah.
Yeah. Others, the other platforms are like one-hit wonders. Like Apple has like the Night Manager, which is like amazing. But like, other than that, yeah, I would have to say Disney.
Yeah.
It's got the movies and the series, which is super cool. It's also got Deadpool, which is quite nice. Hey, Monique, off camera here. What does it cost to go to a gig in Melbourne or anywhere, roughly? Like, how much would you expect to pay if you were paying?
$80-ish.
$80. Okay, that's more expensive than I thought. Scrap that idea.
Local artist wedding.
Yeah, like a local artist. Like, you go into the pub or something like that.
Someone that doesn't have a following.
Yeah, like $20. That's pretty good. That's great entertainment. So that's another way to save.
Well, a lot of pubs have free musicians too, just performing.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you can go to Trivia Night, which is free at your local. That's another good one. So and these are like some easy ways to get entertainment.
And other websites where you can buy very low-cost last-minute theatre tickets for musicals. If anyone wants to see a musical this year, there's a few good ones coming to Melbourne, including Wicked and Juliet.
Ooh. Wowzers.
I don't know. Wow. You might want to see, but like concerts,
I do want to go see
comedy,
the orchestra.
Sport.
I just feel like that would be quite a spectacle.
The MSO often has discounted tickets because they what might need a Melbourne Symphony Orchestra.
Okay, right, cool.
There you go. So cultured.
Yeah. Yep.
You can also see the ballet. You want to see the ballet this year? There you go.
I would happily go and see these things. But if they didn't cost the earth, like what is it? Like I feel like something like that's too schmancy for me.
No, a lot of them have real restricted tickets, which just might mean you're quite high up.
There's like a pole in front of you so you can't see the screen.
It's
or
not always a
like
pole
this.
In front of you. It might mean the like one side of the stage is slightly obstructed because you're sitting on an angle viewing it down.
Yeah, right.
So,
okay.
Which is
what is
fine.
Like one of those like little boxes, thing, that box things up on the side there, you know, where like the Prime Minister sits?
Yeah, the boxes are quite cheap.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the boxes at the Art Centre. I got Phantom of the Opera tickets for about $60 in a box. Because they're seen as
cheaper
restricted
than a round
view.
Of drinks at anywhere.
Because you can't see the side of the stage in the boxes. So they're
Did you have one of those like spectacle things where you're like, Nelly, the
fancy? Like,
No, but some people I know have done that.
Oh, my
so
Lord.
Next level, if you really want to see the action.
Mm.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
So binoculars.
Like live entertainment like is really good value because it normally goes for a few hours. You can just pick up on these things. If you just, you know, keep a lookout on social media, follow some artists
and
or whatever.
Comedy festivals in most states. Like,
yeah.
There's plenty out there. You just kind of have to start looking for it or subscribing to websites that notify you of upcoming events for local artists and things like that.
Yeah, bushwalks, fishing. These are all things that are done really cheap because you take advantage of nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finding low-cost hobbies or hobbies that don't cost you anything like hiking.
Yeah, yeah. Other than energy, which is quite hard to find these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Burger / picnics with friends in the park. I see you got this in the notes, Kate.
Yeah. Well, I thought Quinn kind of covered that with the movie
the
night with
in.
Friends.
Mm.
But
night in.
If it's a warmer summer evening, you can use one of those barbecues in the local park.
Mm.
The ones that you wonder, when was the last time that got properly cleaned?
Mm-hmm.
But they're great. And you can have a picnic in the park and everyone can bring something. So they're a lot
of fun. Such a great way to do it, yeah.
Good idea.
When was the last time either of you went to the cinema?
Maybe a month ago.
Oh,
also.
Wow. That's not
yeah,
long ago.
But you can actually get cheap tickets, I think.
Yeah. There used to be a thing at, I don't know if this is like a thing anymore, like Tight Ass Tuesdays.
the next nodding yes.
Yes, there is. Yes.
Yeah.
Success. Yeah. There you go. There's something. Now we just need a movie to go
see. Telstra tickets and things you can get cheaper tickets.
Yeah, there are some like members, maybe with your insurance as well. Like there are some insurance RACV providers that have that.
Hoyts said the free membership you get a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been to the cinemas since Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think if you're like, is it Optus and Hoyts and Village and Telstra or something? It's like a, anyway, I'm probably just making that up.
If you start Googling, you will find into us cheaper tickets. Let us know
how wrong we are. Yeah, cool. Well, that's entertainment. Plenty of ways to save some time off over summer. SunSmart policy applies, of course. Saving money on bills, Kate.
Yes. So,
do you have bills?
I do. They seem to add up.
Wow.
More than I expected.
Yep. How do you solve that problem?
Because I have to pay hot water and cold water and electricity and gas and NBN and phone bill. But anyway, all of those big bills.
Being an adult.
Yes, being an adult is fun, but those big bills are all things that you can renegotiate or look for better options, at least on an annual basis. So there's always different offers coming into market, especially for NBN and phone plans. There's always, you get rewarded for switching, not for being loyal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, loyalty tax,
that
for
sure.
That
took you a while to get your head around.
I was like, there was like three cogs that had to move for me to then connect and be like, oh, yes, now I know what she's talking about.
So I think this year, maybe in the next few months, I'll do sort of an annual review of all of these big expenses and I'll let everyone know how I go in a Money and Chill episode.
Yeah.
Good idea.
What about you, Queenie? How do you save on bills?
Yeah, I would say, especially with phone plans, what I see a lot of people doing is like getting an unlimited plan, which is great if you use like a crazy amount of data. Yep. But I think for a lot of people, they usually don't use that much data that they think they do. So it might be worth actually looking at what your data consumption is every month and then getting a plan that, you know, is more aligned with that. And you could probably save, I don't know, maybe $20 a month. And it all adds up at the end of the day, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Absolutely. Even things like Amazim, pretty sure they still do that. Like the Aldi Sim, that's super cost-effective if you are that way inclined. And in particular, you can just switch on your Wi-Fi when you get home, like on your phone, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to use that much bandwidth when you're out. Just don't download your binge series because you won't be able to do that. But maybe you can download other things before you jump on the commute to work. So binge, if you're listening, user experience.
You download your podcast when you connect it to your internet at home.
Yeah.
You do your heavy streaming downloads.
Unless you're on a
home.
Starlink, which I figured out is quite annoying. Because it's like, waits for the satellite to go over and then you're like streaming.
You paid so much extra for this like, fancy ding, thing.
And then you have to wait 5 seconds and it comes back again. Anyway, get a Starlink. They're great. So, other than that, you can actually look to save by annually reviewing these things. Like health insurance is a real big one. There may be things that you don't need anymore. Like if you have pregnancy cover or if you don't need certain things. Life insurance, which is often held inside super. It's a great way to save that instead of paying outside of super. Just be mindful of any of the kind of exclusions or waiting periods before you do anything with insurance. But inside super, there's actually income protection. And one of the easiest ways to save on income protection is firstly, like do a review of the insurance guide, but you can extend the waiting period. That's whether it's like, that's how long it takes to kick in before you get the payments. And that could be, you know, 30, 60 or 90 days. And if you go longer, you might think, well, that's a big risk. However, if you have your emergency fund, that should cover you for 3 to 6 months anyway. So you can afford to knock that back and you'll still have some money. Like you've got to budget accordingly. It's a risk, but keep that in mind. It's a really easy way to kind of save on that. And other than that, like there are some great incentives at the state level. So here in Victoria, we covered quite a bit this year that you could get $250 literally by putting in your address and then press compare.
Yeah, that was
and they would send you $250.
Energy provider comparison site. I don't know how that works. Similar thing in Sydney.
I think we would, but that's pretty good. $250.
Yeah, we did. Did an episode on this, and there was actually a website for the whole of Australia where you can. Mm. It's like government rebates and incentives, and you can just put like your state in, and it will come up with a list of all the things that are ready to go, and like available straight away. And
I think that was when I got my free showerhead.
Yeah, yeah. How's that going?
It's great. I love it. It still works.
Does it stay on when you turn the water on? Or
yes.
Does it come flowing? No,
really look a bit doubtful.
Really good water pressure.
Yeah.
I approved. My free showerhead is great.
That's good. Because normally they save water, right? So normally people are a bit disappointed. They're like, oh, I used to have this old thing that looked like a waterfall. Now I got this thing which looks like a spray bottle.
Yeah. I don't know. If I had one of those actual waterfall ones in the house, it came with that, I probably would have kept it.
Oh, you mean like one of those big square ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. that's next level. I definitely got like the one on the stick. Yes. On the hose.
The stick is very effective, like when you're trying to clean.
Oh yeah, so good. Yeah, so good. Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
we don't digress. Have any tips for cleaning. Cleaning okay. sucks.
Okay, final bucket for saving money is saving money on pets. Do we have any pets, guys?
Well, my big tip is don't have a pet.
Well,
I guess we can wrap it up there.
Let's move on. Do you have any pets, Queenie?
No, no. But I was actually an just axolotl, staying with my friend.
Fish, nothing?
No, axolotl. Those things are really funny looking, hey? Like the amphibian things.
Yeah, they're quite
catfish.
Freaky.
Yeah.
Catfish?
Yeah.
They're like, have you seen an axolotl? It's like a catfish crossed with something else.
Not for a while.
Okay.
You're okay, the only one with pets.
Anyway, one of my friends, she just got a new puppy and I was staying with her for a bit. And yeah, honestly, they bring so much joy, but they can be very expensive. I think something that you could potentially do is just making sure that you are keeping on top of your expenses for your pet, just like you would yourself, you know, because they can get you can go a bit wild with the food. Like I remember when I was staying with her, we were like, whenever we would go shopping, we'd be like, oh my gosh, he would love this. We have to get this for him, you know? So I can understand how it could get really expensive.
They're
so
like a whole other human. They need food, they need toys, they have problems, they have to go to the vet.
Think of all the happiness though, Kate. Can you
they
put a price on happiness?
They have to get a babysitter when you go away.
Like how much happier would you be in life if you had something that would come up to you and slobber on you when you get back?
Negative 1,000.
You would. Oh yeah, you actually don't like dogs. Like when there's dogs in the.
I like chickens.
Chickens.
Monique knows what I'm talking about. When there's a dog in the office, Kate just like freezes up. She's like, "Do not come near me. Do not come
and
near
I
me."
I always do. They sense it.
Yeah, they're like, she's got a bit of anxiety
even
around.
Even when I've been near family members' dogs, they know I don't like them, and they still come up to me.
Yeah, it's a thing. Well, anyway, on the affirmative side, we have Owen who says, get a pet because they're awesome. Get whatever. Maybe second guess your rabbit, though, because they are a lot of work.
Your rabbit has cost a lot in technical problems.
Oh, my gosh. They're so fiddly and they're just very fragile.
Oh.
Yeah, we had one rabbit who bit a cable. It's now passed on.
Oh.
Poor happy. Anyway, it bit a cable and then we brought that cable into the office, like fully checked OH&S, all that stuff. And there were these two cables, right? It bit both of them and we plugged both of them into power. And then it just so happened, like through fate, that the two cables touched at exactly the right spot and it set the power off in the whole building.
And it fried a couple of machines that were quite expensive.
We just spent $2,500 on these like standalone GPUs. I know, nerd alert. But anyway, they hit, the things fried, the whole building went down. It was more like lucky to be alive, but hey, that happens.
Wow.
Anyway.
So, keep your rabbits away from your good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they are fun. Like the big ones that are like huge, they're bigger than dogs, they're hilarious because they just have no energy. So you can just walk up to them, pick them up. But the little ones are like, don't want to be around you. Anyway, puppies are also now cheaper. I remember during COVID, I did a video and I was like, everyone was worried about the price of puppies. And it was like, that was actually the leading indicator of inflation.
Hmm.
So because it's hard, you can't just produce a puppy in like a day like you can with milk or
just
bread
ready
or whatever.
To order.
So the price of puppies went way up because the demand for new puppies during COVID and happiness, Kate, went way up and the supply was stagnant. So that's inflation in action. But now the reverse is happening. Everyone got dogs during COVID and obviously there's still breeding happening, you know, such is nature. Anyway, so now there are more puppies and they're cheaper. So if you are in the market, you could probably save up to 50% on a pet.
Hmm.
We should give a special shout out. We spoke to the RSPCA. They're awesome. They're amazing. They have so many wonderful animals that could be adopted. So if you are in the market, you will save so much money by going to the RSPCA, like potentially thousands of dollars off a dog. So go and check that out. I think most pet insurance is a waste of money, but there are some policies which are decent and you can go through things like RSPCA. Just be really careful with the T's and C's. Typically, they're really expensive to begin with because the puppies are most fragile when they're early on, but you're most, you're looking at me like, when are you going to shut up about the pets? No, like, okay, one final thing. Give me one final thing. So when you get a pet, you can actually arrange with your vet And they will often put you on a payment plan because they're quite lumpy, as in like the payments are quite lumpy, not the pet itself, although it could be a lumpy pet. What you can do is you can arrange with your vet to do like monthly bills, and they cover X number of things. So it might be like 2 checkups a year, worming, vaccinations, and maybe desex, all covered in the same thing. And that helps people budget much more effectively because you know your costs, and the vet kind of takes the risk there. But also order food in bulk. That's my piece.
Wonderful.
I'm done.
Very good.
I think there's a lot of different savings tips there for everyone.
Did you count how many we did?
Oh, way over 7. So that's good.
Wow.
Since this episode, we'll say 7.
Seven.
Value for money, I know. Free entertainment and free savings.
It should just say invest with Queenie in the headline, because that would be the most popular episode ever, because Queenie, you are super popular
on Instagram,
on TikTok, on YouTube, all around.
Popular. Oh, guys, love you.
So where can people go if they want to follow you and get more savings tips and hacks and all these types of stuff?
You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube on Invest with Queenie. Mm-hmm. And yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is super fun. It was really fun.
Yeah, cool. Well, we're so thrilled that you can be here in the office with us and in the studio. It does look like it's falling in around you, doesn't it, the office?
Yeah, honestly, I wish you could see it right now, because it looks a bit like the walls are closing in, like one of those escape rooms with the spikes. Like, you know.
No one's described it as an escape room before. So.
Although people probably get in here and want to escape, to be honest.
Especially when they're talking to you.
Does make sense. But we'll put all the links to Queenie's socials in the description. So if you do want to follow up and say g'day to Queenie, please do it. You have some amazing videos. Like, honestly, you do. Between you and Pablo, like, what you come up with is awesome. So people could be a lot better off if they just follow some of those. But
let us all know on socials what you're saving money on this year.
Yeah. Yeah. We need ideas.
If you've got creative ideas, we want to hear them.
I like it. Cool. And that's about it from us.
I think we should wrap this up. There's enough savings tips and enough us.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Queenie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Kate, as always, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast, where our mission is to improve the financial futures of all Australians. If you'd like to learn more, create a free account at rusk.com.au/account to download free episode workbooks, bonus resources, and take our amazing free personal finance courses.
You can also join our online community by following the link in the description. If you enjoyed the show, what we'd love is for you to leave us a snappy review on iTunes. And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Rask Australia. Kate and I are also on both of those channels. Finally, if you have any feedback, suggestions for episodes or guests to come on the show, or you just have a question for us, shoot us an email at podcast@rask.com.au. InvestSmart's portfolios are turning 10, and to celebrate, 10 InvestSmart boot camps are up for grabs. This self-paced online course is ideal for both seasoned investors and those who are just starting out. Valued at $99, you could win a spot on this highly rated course. To enter the competition and for terms and conditions, simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Don't miss out on this chance to learn from experts and take your investing to the next level. Simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Good luck. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Before you go, I wanted to share some things with you. Specifically, I wanted to tell you about the 10 ways that Rask could help you in 2024. As many of you know, Rask has grown to become one of the biggest investing and finance platforms in Australia. Across our podcasts, our websites, our memberships, and so on, we now engage around 200,000 Aussies. Which, considering we started in a humble lounge room on a Kmart desk, one of those old fake white wooden ones, I'm pretty ecstatic about where we are 6 years later. As part of becoming one of Australia's biggest platforms for wealth creation and preservation, we now have a very special position in the country in that we can bring you some of the best, most thoughtful, expert-driven ways to protect and grow your wealth. And I'm going to share some of those with you now. I've got 10 ways that we can potentially help you or match you with someone who can. The first thing that I want to tell you about is the biggest step we've ever taken at Rask. which is the launch of our Rask Invest platform. This is a platform that lets our team, led by me, invest for you, primarily through low-cost, diversified ETFs. We'll have three strategies at launch, and every investor who comes through can pick one of the three strategies, being a balanced strategy, a growth strategy, and a high-growth strategy. The balanced strategy focuses on passive income, and the high-growth strategy focuses on longer-term compounding. You will find a link in your podcast player to register your interest. We will be taking off soon. Number two, if you prefer to DIY your investing, you can join me and over 4,000 members inside Rask Core. That's our full ETF and ASX share research membership community. You can join now and you'll get updated ETF portfolio recommendations every quarter, as well as ongoing ASX and global stock research. Every single month, we call them the All-Star Stocks. You get that alongside the ETF portfolios, as well as other members-only content. It's called Rask Core. Number three, our first ever partnership with a business other than our own was a business by the name of Blusk, which has since become Flint Group. Flint Group is led by Chris Bates and Christian Stevens, two of Australia's most highly regarded mortgage brokers. Already over 200 Rask community members have begun the Rask plus Flint Group mortgage broking process. You can click the link in your podcast player if you're refinancing, investing, a first home buyer, or whatever. You've probably heard Chris on the show many times. Number four, you can connect with our most trusted financial advisors. Whether you're 25 years old, just graduated uni, and looking to set yourself up, or approaching or in retirement and you've got that nest egg you want to protect and generate a passive income from, you can get in contact with our trusted panel of financial advisors. You can find the link in your podcast player. It's there each and every week. Just click the thing that says financial planning. Number five, if you want specialist insurance advice, as Warren Buffett said, rule number one is don't lose money. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. Insurance is vitally important, especially when it comes to your number one asset, you. Whether you're a single income household or a couple, and you just want to protect what would happen if, you want to protect your family if something goes wrong. You want to protect your spouse if you lose your job. You want to protect yourself if you hurt yourself on the weekend at footy. Insurance is a way to do that. And I think the best way to do insurance is through a financial planner. And there's a few reasons for that, but one of them is sometimes some insurers will only work with financial advisors, but they can also be your companion as you go through the sometimes daunting process of getting insurance done properly. Sometimes you might not even know, but you're not even covered, even though you think you are. So get the right advice. You'll find a link in the show notes to check that out. Number six, buying property. If you're like me and you're thinking of buying property in the next 12 months, or maybe you've already invested and you're looking to downsize, getting the right advice and being able to build wealth through property is a proven strategy. It might be one of the most contentious, but I think that we have one of Australia's best property coaches in our ranks. That is Pete Wargent. Pete is the host of the now super popular Australian Property Podcast by Rask, and he's also my analyst team's macro consultant. So if you're a member of Rask Core, you will have seen Pete's name around the traps. He's a property coach and buyer's agent, and he works with a select number of people each and every year. Just a note on this, this is not a commercial thing with Pete. Pete just has great services, so we offer them to the community. And when he fills up, he fills up. You can find out more about Pete's coaching in the show notes. Next up, tracking your portfolio for tax. I think you are, because I think you have to. So we've partnered with Nevexa to help you manage your share and ETF reporting, whether it's tax or performance. All Rask users get 20% off an annual plan with Nevexa. You can sync your portfolio with Nevexa's software and it automatically tracks your dividends, your capital gains tax, and more. Again, not a commercial partnership. We don't make anything from working with Nevexa, but they do create some great tools which the Rask community uses each and every day. Number eight, want to run your own business? Maybe you already do. If you want more profit, but less stress, less time consumed, and less energy lost, get in contact. We have a partner business called Inflection. The Inflection Accelerator Program is a complete online course that helps you and a community of members engage and follow a proven strategy for growing your business. I'm grateful to be one of the coaches inside the Accelerator Program, helping business owners right across Australia. You can find more following the link in your podcast player. It's the one that says coaching. Number 9, if you haven't already checked it out, join over 20,000 other people who tune into the RASK YouTube channel. It is completely free and you get notified when we go live and when we publish podcast episodes. There is a podcast on the RASK network each and every day, as well as bite-sized material that's less than 60 seconds, or those really punchy tutorials and webinars that are just 15 minutes that take you through a really exciting topic, whether it's how to buy a property, whether it's how to pick a dividend ETF. Some of our most popular content actually just explains things like, what the heck is franking credits and how do I calculate if I've got some? That's on our YouTube channel. Number 10, if you want to be a better investor, a saver, a better partner with money, or just understand your own relationship with money, you can do that. All of that by going to the RASK Education website and taking a free course. We've enrolled over 26,000 students at the time of this recording, and we are on a mission to get to 100,000 in the next few years. RASK Education is our mostly free education platform, covering everything from budgeting and automation to the probably, I would say, the best value investing program in the country. So whether you're a value investor, an intermediate investor, you want to know how to value Woolworths shares, or you simply just want to understand what ethical investing is, or buy your first property and what actually happens on settlement day, head to the RASK Education website and enroll in something today. It is free and it supports us, because then I can come on here next month and I can say we've got 27,000, and hopefully we reach critical mass where we can help more Australians manage their money better. Thank you for listening to this long-winded ad. If you want to get in contact with me, you know where to go. There's a link in your show notes. Basically, these 10 services, even though some of them we don't make any money from, support RASK and allow us to produce these podcasts, attract the biggest and best guests from Australia and around the world, and bring them to you to answer your questions. Thank you for being part of the RASK network, and thank you for your ongoing support. Bye for now.